إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the story of Dawud alayhi salam and what I described yesterday as David's rules or Dawud alayhi salam's rules in the struggle of David and Goliath. And David and Goliath is the name that we give in English for any struggle between the very strong and the very weak, where those who are apparently weak can still win over those who are strong. And yesterday I spoke about three, which is the importance to take the first step, importance of taking the first steps. Second one is to confound Goliath, not play by his rules, but to play by your own rules. And the third very important one is that only effort produces results. Today we look at the three others. And the first of those, which is the number four rule, is that strength always overcomes weakness. Generally, we have this tendency to say, what are my weaknesses? We focus on that. I should develop my weaknesses. I should get rid of my weaknesses. But a much better strategy is to play from your position of strength. When I say weakness, I don't mean things like your sins or something like that. I mean, those, of course, one has to get rid of them, right? But weaknesses which may be weakness in terms of skill or weakness in one way or the other, it is much better to play to your strength, play from a position of strength, because the strength always overcomes the weakness. For example, if you are not a very good public speaker, but you are a good writer. Now, many people, they try to say, well, I should train to become a better public speaker and so on. Nothing wrong with that. But probably your influence will be much better if you focus on writing and writing more, because that is your strength already. Instead of trying to focus more on public speaking. As I said, it's not a crime to do that. But in terms of what is relatively better and what is relatively more effective, Dawud alayhi salam was a shepherd. So he used what he knew. He did not know how to use a lance or a sword, but he knew how to use a slingshot. So as far as the slingshot was concerned, he was the greatest expert in the world on that. So he used that, and because of that he won the battle. So instead of being overawed by competition, remember that the winning post is only at the end of the race. It's not in the middle of the race. So many times we get overawed just by at the beginning itself. We say, oh, look at these people, they've got this many resources and they've got this one and that one. I was in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City, and I went to see what's called the Cu Chi Tunnels. The Cu Chi Tunnels are the tunnels, underground tunnels, in which the Viet Cong, they fought. First they fought the French and then they fought the Americans, totally for 75 years. And at the end of that, they beat both of them. Two of the greatest powers on the earth were beaten by people who were 4 foot nothing and who actually had nothing. But if you go into those Cu Chi tunnels and see what they did, they had literally factories in which they produced booby traps and in which they produced all kinds of improvised weaponry. And what did they use? They used the garbage that was thrown by the American troops. They used coke cans, they used beef tins, they used all kinds of what the Americans threw away. The Viet Cong used that to make weapons which they used against the enemy. Now, this shows the whole issue of playing to your strength. You have creativity, you have the ability to do things. So you don't worry about how much of, you know, oh, look at them and how much money they have and how much resources they have and so on. Don't worry about it. Look at what you have and see what is the best that I can do with what I have. And that always wins in the end, rather than getting overawed and, you know, losing hope right in the beginning. This is something that, you know, seems to happen more often than not. You don't even try, because just the shine and of the opposition puts you off. So that's the rule number four. Number five is never compromise your legacy. Stay focused, no matter what the distraction. Remember that winning is all that counts, and how you win is part of that. It's not this modern thing of winning by any means. Winning by any means is not worthy of praise. Winning without honor is to lose in the worst possible way. Winning by cheating, winning by through treason, winning by in ways which are dishonorable and bad. That's really losing in the worst possible way, because in the end it doesn't matter which battle you fought. It doesn't matter whether you fought or what matters is which side you fought on. What matters is what you stood for. It's not a question of did you win the battle or you didn't win the battle. Right? We have many instances of this in the history of the world, not only in the history of Muslims. Alhamdulillah, we have many instances in the history of Muslims also, where people apparently on the face of it lost a battle or they lost a particular competition. But actually, if you look at it, that was one of the biggest wins that they could have done. But even in the history of the world, there are many such instances where people, a person chose a goal, or they chose something to stand for, which gave them honor. So never compromise on your legacy. And the last one is to thank others. It's very, very important to be thankful to all those who helped you to succeed. Because it's true that you owe your success to your efforts. But remember that some of those efforts were made standing on the shoulders of others. And even if you forgot, they won't. Even if you forget that they helped you, they are not going to forget that they helped you. So it is very important to never to forget who helped you. And of course, this is also, as far as Islam is concerned, this is one of the most important things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and ordered us to be thankful to Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, although Allah does not need the thanks. And Rasulullah said, the one who has not thanked the person has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So being thankful, expressing that thanks, it's not just a matter of being thankful in the heart. The people do not know what's in your heart. So it's important to express that thanks to whoever helped you to win. So in the story of Dawud alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, we have many lessons. And if we practice these, then it doesn't matter if you are small and weak. What matters is whether you win or not. And in this case, you will, inshallah, you will win, because you're using your strengths and using them to the best of your ability. To conclude, this one also is the story of Dawud alayhi salam, which Allah mentioned in the Quran, where he had structured his time, where one part of the night he used to spend, or a greater part of the night he used to spend exclusively in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this he had a masjid constructed where he would be alone. And this masjid, to make sure that he was alone, was surrounded by high wall. So in the daytime he would be involved in matters of state, but in the night this was his mamul, this was his routine. But one day two people came over the wall, and Dawud alayhi salam actually was apprehensive. Because who are these people? How did they get over this very high wall? They were actually malaika. They were angels who were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a test. And they came and they had this rather ridiculous story, because if you look at the story, they said, well, you know, please judge between us. Because Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam's son were very famous for their wisdom and good judgment. So they said, well, we have come because there is this emergency, and please judge between us. We are brothers. And this brother has 99 sheep and I have one sheep. And this brother is saying to me, give me that one sheep also so I can have 100 sheep. And after all, what is the use of that one sheep to you? At least here it will be part of this flock. Here the sheep is alone and so on. Now, when that story happened, Dawood alayhi salam realized what it was. He knew that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he immediately fell into sujood. And in the Quran, that's the ayat of sajda also, where he fell into sujood and he asked forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing himself to be distracted by something other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is a very big lesson for us. One, in structuring our time, which is because if you, that's, this is, you see, at least the first salah, this is something which is, you know, it, obviously we should not feel it is forced, but I'm saying that it's part of the structure of the day of a Muslim that he or she prays five times at the correct times. That is the whole point of the structuring, not as if, you know, delay it and push it this way. So praying five times at the prescribed times, preferably in the masjid, this is part of our structure anyway. But other than that, it also tells us the importance of structuring some time in the day or night. And obviously, the last part of the night is the best time for that. For tahajjud, for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reflection, for meditation, for making dhikr. All of these activities, there should be some time in your day which you set apart for this. Just running behind the dunya the whole day and then, you know, falling into an exhausted sleep in the night. Sometimes that sleep is so exhausted that it also keeps you away from Salatul Fajr, forget about tahajjud. This is not the way to live life. So this is a very big lesson as far as that is concerned. Second one is that not to allow that to, not to then get distracted. Even though you have structured your time, then don't allow something else to come in between. Now, we don't have people climbing walls to reach us, but we have other things which are much more distracting. One of which is our screens, you know, are probably the most important. Our smartphones and whatever gadgets that we have. I just sent out this morning, on one of the syndicates that I read, there's a very good TED talk on how, by a very eminent psychologist, of how screens make you miserable, how they create depression in you because of the amount of time you spend watching these gadgets, right? Whether it's smartphones or iPads or whatever else. And the tragedy is that there are many young parents who allow or even encourage their little children to spend hours and hours staring at iPads and smartphones and so on. And they think they are being very smart. They say it very proudly, so my little child can do this. You are destroying those children. Please understand this. You are destroying those children. And a day will come when they will curse you for that. Because they will know that this is what my parents should have stopped me. I mean, I am 2 years old, I am 5 years old, I am 4 years old. What the hell do I know about what is right and wrong? I don't know. That's why there are parents. And these parents, instead of, you know, encouraging those children to read books, instead of encouraging those children to play good, healthy games and so on, they encourage those children to, you know, sit in front of an iPad or something, because it makes their life more easy. They don't want to spend time on parenting. They don't want to spend the energy on looking after the child. Much simpler to stick an iPad there and the iPad takes care of the child. But this is destroying the children, and the parents are responsible. And the time will come when those parents, those same children, will curse them for that. Because they will realize that this is what my parents did to me. I'm talking about serious psychological damage that happens because of the amount of time we spend in front of these screens. Right. So I've sent out the TED talk. Take a look at that also. So all of this gives us, these are lessons that we take from the stories of the prophets in the Quran to help us to rectify our lives and to make our lives more productive and more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom to take these lessons and to apply them in our lives and to benefit from them, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.